Support for today's episode comes from OMG Yes. Do you want to learn hundreds of mental, physical, and communication techniques? Then check out OMG Yes, an online resource with access to 300 plus honest and funny interview, demonstrations, animations, infographics, and how-to. And it's for everyone, men, women, and couples. If you want to learn about squirting, edging, how to use sex toys, then this place is for you. There's no monthly subscription fee, but just visit the show notes or theboonybreakdown.com for more information to join OMG Yes. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Boonie, and you're listening to the Boonie Breakdown Podcast, your source for all things responsible and ratchet. All right, welcome to this week's episode. We are back with our problematic fave, Brian. Y'all know we never plan what we're going to talk about, but it always comes out being so funny and ridiculous at times, but this one starts responsible and then it completely goes off the rails. Okay. We do answer a listener letter. This one was probably the oddest, weirdest. I still don't even know if it's real, but it came through on my website and we talked about it. We also talk about trash sex, toxic relationships. I even asked Brian what the difference between juicy and wet pussy. All right. So you want to stick around for that conversation. We're going to hop right into my pick of the week. And while it's fresh on my brain, the pick of the week is the Rennie World Tour film. And y'all know that's Renaissance, right? I've been calling it the Rennie because I just don't know how to spell Renaissance. So I just been shortening it, calling it Rennie. I just left the film with Mama Ratchet. And my only complaint is that it's long as fuck. I mean, it is long. And I think sitting in a movie theater, it's been a long time I've sat in a movie theater that long, that I much would have preferred to sit on my couch and been able to cut a fool. Thankfully, though, in my theater, there were a few people who were cutting loose. They were getting up, dancing. She walked down her aisle. But it wasn't truly disruptive. But I think people got... the movie was so long, they got so tired that it didn't last long. So I didn't complain. It was really good. It was very endearing to see Beyonce as a mother, to see Jay-Z as a father. I liked that they cut the long, boring intro. I mean, it wasn't boring, but it went lengthy of the ballad. So I liked where they edited and shifted the concert. But what I will say is from this, watching the movie, it has confirmed that I just need to go ahead and save $1,000, $2,000, because if she's going to keep doing stadium tours, I need to be up close and personal. I think that was one of the reasons why I felt like Renaissance wasn't my favorite Beyonce performance that I seen live, because I was so far away. Like, and I wasn't even in like bad seats, but it was like the 100 sections, but it still just wasn't club Renaissance, you know? So yeah, whenever Beyonce gets to Vegas, I need to just go ahead and make sure I have a savings account, because I'm going to have to blow the bag, because I need to be up close and personal. I don't know if this is an unpopular opinion, if anyone feels this way, but I feel like I enjoyed the concert in the movie more than I did in the concert. And I know part of it was because she cut those stupid interludes that I hated, that I just thought the energy dropped during the interludes. And then when she came back on stage, it went back up. And so I thought it was more interesting to watch the clips of the behind the scenes and her thoughts than to watch whatever those interludes were to me. And so, yeah, I enjoyed the concert because it was like she definitely performed to the camera. And so, yeah, those are my thoughts. 10, 10, 10s across the board.
Housekeeping. Housekeeping.
Come back later, please.
Housekeeping.
Not now.
All right, we're going to go into feedback from episode 241, Black Women Prep 2, with our guest, Ashley Cobb. A lot of interesting feedback on this one, because so many of you did not know that as a woman, as a cisgendered straight woman, you could take PrEP as a preventative measure to protect yourself from HIV and AIDS. And so for me, that is a win when you guys learn something that can help you out in life. So if you have not checked out last week's episode, I encourage you to do so. Also, last week, December 1st was World AIDS Day. And so if you've listened to this episode or going to listen to this episode and you do not know your status, your STI status, your HIV status, then this is your plug, your reminder, your gentle reminder to go ahead and make sure you get a test done, STI screening done before the end of the calendar year, because you can't have good sex if you're not having clean and safe sex, all right? So be sure to take that and make that a priority. Also, Patreon gang. I got to shout out Patreon gang because I had a very long day on Thursday, but I ended the day with Patreon gang for our first book club session. It was really, really dope. So book club gang, Patreon gang, if you missed the book club, I will be posting the replay up. For you all, I will announce our next book club selection and date as well. But we had a really good time and a really good conversation. And naturally, it went other places just by the nature of rereading Corinne Steffens' Confessions of a Video Vixen. All right. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Stick around. Listen to some more. And just make sure you follow us on social media at The Boonie Breakdown on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're just at Boonie Breakdown over on Twitter. You can also follow and listen and subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Amazon Music, Audible, iHeartRadio. So a lot of great platforms that you can listen to the podcast on. So thanks for listening. If you're not new here, welcome back. Like I said at first, but go ahead. I encourage you. I implore you. I ask you to share this episode with someone who may not listen to the podcast. Get a new friend to check us out. And I appreciate that. I hope it. I love it when you share the episode. If you put it in your Insta story, put it in your group chat. It helps us way more than you know and you could even imagine. All right. So that is it for me. Let's get ready to break it down. All right, y'all. We have the problematic fave here today. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Boonie.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm in a good mood. I'm in a great, great spirit.
I am too. I have no complaints. I have a listener letter for us to do. It is kind of wild, actually. So
I'm excited about that. I saved it
for you.
I love the spontaneity of this show. I really do.
I got this one, and I hope whoever's listening, whoever sent this in, because it's anonymous, they sent it through my website. That's how I didn't see it at first, because it went in my spam folder. And so I was looking for something else, and I was like, oh, wait, what's this one here? Wow. What else has happened in your life since the last time?
Nothing, man. I just had a lot of good, positive stuff going on.
Being a better human.
I am. I've always been a good human. It's just your listeners don't think so. I really be doing real shit behind the scenes. But
you really do. I will give you credit for that. Because people don't know this. You gave Thanksgiving meals to what, 15 families? 10 families?
Yep. We've had 15 families. That was the highlight of my Thanksgiving weekend. That was good. We did three the year before. I do have a real job. My real job gave $10,000 to my nonprofit, Baltimore Bikers.
That's amazing.
So they were like, I was trying to hide it because you don't want your manager to know what you're doing. So she's just like, hey, what you got going on? And this was a year ago. And I was like, yeah, this organization I work with, we've eaten three families this weekend. And she was like, oh, that's so nice. So she sent it to HR. HR get the fucking snooping around and want to highlight something that I'm doing. And then they emailed me, was like, are you the executive director? I was like, oh, shit. Like, you don't want none of the people to know that you got some other shit going on. So the good thing was it was nothing that was for profit. So by being a nonprofit and me saying like, oh, this is what we do. We ride bikes. It wasn't like, oh, he doing this shit while he working, When we got to our meeting, they had already did a highlight on what I did. And then when we got to our meeting, they donated $10,000 to the organization to do more work.
That. People listening probably didn't even know our problematic fave had this side to him. That's dope.
Yeah, doing a lot of shit. So, yeah, just more shit that they end up falling in love with. 3 weeks ago, I got my real estate license. So I was already a loan officer, and then I decided to be more on the sales side because it gave me a chance to be independent. Like sitting behind a desk, crunching the numbers, it was cool. It made me, I feel like, put me in a better position to be a realtor. So it's like, you know, when you get to talking to people and they feel like, oh, this realtor didn't know this or that, they just kept telling me, call a loan officer. Like, yeah, some stuff you do got to call a money person because they're the ones who are handling your deal. But I should be able to ask a basic question if you're like, well, what's going to be the difference in this house?
Yeah.
You know, like every $10,000 is going to be $60 to $70 more on your payment. Like just something simple like that. Or understanding, well, if I'm at this interest rate and the seller give me this much, can I buy my rate down? Like simple questions.
This is like the most responsible our listeners probably ever heard you be.
Yeah, so they need to call me.
Robbins, you the fucking Nino Brown at Thanksgiving and shit.
Yeah, out there passing out turkeys. Trying to right my fucking wrongs. But yeah, so it's cool. Got the real estate license. Anybody want to buy, sell, rent, or hold, you know, just holler at me. We'll do all of that. But I got accepted to Morgan's MBA program. Shout out to Yeah, so I got accepted to the MBA program. I'm going back to school. I said I was never going back. I said I was never, ever in my life going back. And then I was like, I'm only going back if it's free. So Monday, I got the... Yesterday was Monday, right? So yesterday, I found out... Yeah, I got a full scholarship. So I'm going back. So I'm always busy. You know, still got the business. Still working a full-time job. Taking care of my 50 million kids. But, you know, it just, I always feel like it's not enough. And sometimes people don't realize like where people, like how people get there. And it's like, you got
to
really.
What happened to you to get you there?
Real talk. I got laid off in 2019.
I'm like, it's always a story.
No. Yeah. And it is. Cause I mean, you were there and I mean, it's stuff that we don't discuss and people don't know, but when you get to that point where you be like, yo, I got this education, I got this skill set, I got that skill set. And it's just so easy for somebody to take 80% of the money that you make away in one swoop. It's a scary feeling when you got unemployment, you're going through your savings. You know, I had to postpone me buying a house. That's why it was such a big deal when I talked about buying a house, because I ended up taking that savings. You start dipping in your 401k. Like, we got grown people bills now.
Grown people bills.
Yeah,
ain't no whore.
Ain't no joke. So it ain't like you get the unemployment and you're like, yeah, this shit gonna hold me. You like,
this shit, like,
yeah. It's like what unemployment give you is the shit your wife will give you, like covering the BGE, cable, shit like that. Like you start getting cut off.
Unemployed will keep you fed with heat.
Yep.
And maybe some gas in your car if your car you got no car note.
They ain't paying the fucking mortgage. That's why I say, like, that's what the wife gonna get you. Like, she's gonna pay the BG&E, she's gonna pay the Wi-Fi, she's gonna pay the cable, shit like that. And then you're gonna be like, okay, like, oh, you only putting $1,000 a month in here? Oh, all right.
That's how you know we old. Because I was telling somebody that the other day. They were saying there's really no advantage to owning versus renting now because of the cost. And I was like, that's not necessarily true. I said, because when times get if times ever got hard and I couldn't pay this mortgage. At the first of the month, they're not putting that notice on my door. It's going to take years for me to be homeless, baby.
So. Oh, yeah. And you could call them and be like, yo,
I need you to,
I'm in this situation. Can you put me in forbearance? Can you put my payments to the back?
Even if your credit takes a hit, they can't immediately tell you, get the fuck out your house, right? So it may be a temporary setback, but I know I'm going to have a fucking roof over my head. I'm not going to be out here on the streets. And to me, that is as big of an advantage as ever.
Yeah, and then just taking equity out of your house. I mean, you can basically be like, look, I got 100,000 equity in my house. Like, I know I'm about to lose this job. Well, I got laid off before something happened. Like, let me figure out a way where I could go ahead and get some money out to help pay these bills or pay this debt off and then set myself up. It's a lot of different things you can do, but it's definitely an advantage because tax season is big. Because
that's the only thing that saved me.
Yeah, all you're paying in the first 10 to 15 years of your amortization is nothing but fucking
interest. Yeah.
Interest. Yeah, you're paying all the interest. You're not paying on the principal. So, yeah, we're getting a little deep. But
Listen, we on some real, I'm an adult grown problem shit.
Well, it's we say responsible and ratchet. So we got our responsible.
All right, responsible. Check. Let's go. So, ratchet. Okay. I said I had a listener letter. Let me pull this up on my phone so that I can read and see your face.
You giving it to him already? You want to give it to him this fast?
Do you want to?
Because no, I feel no, go like ahead, this, give it to him. Go ahead, give it to him.
Yeah, I feel like
sometimes we make him wait.
Sometimes we do, but I feel like this one could spiral, and so I'm sending it to myself so I can read on the phone, so I can I'm look scared. At your face at this. So I got this listener letter, guys, and at first I was like, I don't know. But then the person followed up with a second one. And I said, oh, shit, this was real. Because they said, did you overlook my letter? And so I was in my spam folder looking for something else and found this letter. So it says, hey, guys. My partner, girlfriend, fiance. So that's all thing. Girlfriend, fiance. I don't know why it says slash there. Needs your assistance. We're both in our 20s as well. Around 25, and we're from the UK. We got international listeners, motherfucker. So we're both in our 20s. And so basically my partner has this weird fetish, a kink obsession, if you will, for tummies and belly buttons. I had to look up and see your face.
Like, what? Okay.
She specifically has a fetish for my belly. I have an outie belly button where my belly button sticks out a tiny bit from my belly. And I don't know why I was born with this belly button sticking out.
Got an outie like a fucking baby. Ain't you supposed to put a quarter on that shit or something?
You supposed to put the quarter on the belly button.
That's some black people shit. You can't get yourself together.
This is so, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So it says I was naturally born with it, whatever, whatever. So she basically wants to mess around and tease and play with my belly button in different ways, specifically with her wet tongue by licking my belly button. She also sucks on it at times and she wants to tickle it and bite it, nibble on it playfully. I want this to work out with her, but I just have can't get over her obsession with my belly button. The raspberries and Zerbert's things, the belly blows, I'm just over it all. My belly is hypersensitive, ticklish as well, and I'm very self-conscious about having an outie belly button in general, and her fetish makes me feel subconscious. This is where I need help. I want to know, how can I turn the tables and tides on her by messing around and teasing with her belly button so she can leave mine alone? Any tips or advice you can for us to get overcome this kink, obsession, and fetish would be great. If we could stay anonymous, that would be great too.
Oh man, that's so weird. I thought you was about to say that she was fucking the belly button. Like she was like trying to put it in her pussy. Like that's what I thought you was going with it. So it wasn't as bad as I thought.
So, I mean, I skipped over some things because it was a lot of slashes. But it was like she wants to kiss it. She wants to snog it. She pokes it. She prods it. She tongues it. She fondles it. So maybe she fondles the belly button with her pussy. Could you see somebody dragging their pussy on your belly button?
That's crazy.
So this one is very extreme for me. I can say there's a lot of things about a man's body I like, but I don't even know if I've ever paid attention to a man's belly button, honestly.
I don't know the last time.
I have a fetish about it.
I haven't seen an outie on an adult.
I'm thinking, now that you say it, I don't recall an outie belly button either.
Yeah, I haven't seen an outie on an adult. Like, that's why it's like almost like just something you've seen on a baby. You see the little fucking quarter taped to him. Maybe he should put a fucking quarter over it. I don't know.
Is it too late? Would a quarter still work?
It's not going to work. I would just like, at the end of the day, like, I would just be like, look, fucking stop. Like, at some point, you got to just be honest with your partner and just be like, stop. If they're doing some shit that they like and you don't like, at some point, you got to just be like, yo, I don't like that shit. That's like the only real advice, because it's nothing you can do to mess with her belly button that's going to be like, oh yeah, now I know how he feels. Sometimes you got to just be like, stop.
Please stop. Like, because, yeah, a belly button is just such a so unsexy of an area on your body. I feel like the only time, I'm trying to think, have I ever... No, because a nigga will be laying on his stomach if I'm like rubbing him down. I can't think of a time that I'm touching anyone else's belly button. And I only touch mine when I'm cleaning it.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seemed real weird.
Oh my God, it's a thing.
You Googled it?
A navel fetish. I don't know how you pronounce it. An alvenophilia.
That's probably where Audi came from.
Where individuals are attracted to a human navel. In 2012, it was the second most popular fetish search on Google.
Like, so I think it's sexy, like when you kiss down a woman's stomach and you kiss around her navel and down the little, like if they got even like the little line that used to be there, like a little hairline almost, but like a little black line.
The happy trail, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like taking you down and you're trying to be sensual, so you... Like you're trying to get, trying to take your time, but you really want to rush right down there and start giving a hiss.
Well, here's you're the
trying
thing.
To play like you're sensual. That's you it. Just, but I ain't never been like, let me lick inside that motherfucker. Like some people don't clean their nails.
Oh my God, they don't. I just found out about a thing called belly button stones because people who don't, who have innies and don't clean their belly button, it will literally calcify into a stone and they have to get them removed. That is fucking disgusting. Like, I'm sorry if you've had those, that is gross. But it said the navel is an erogenous zone. It has multiple nerve endings to make it sensitive to touch and alive and various sensation for some folks. It also shares the same kind of tissue with the genitalia.
Wow, never knew that. No, thank you. I guess
it's,
only
it's a similar fetish to people who have feet foot fetishes. People will use feathers, candles, food, sex toys, and others in the practice if you admire your partner's belly button. So maybe pour some peaches in her belly button and maybe she'll leave you.
I don't even think you, I just think sometimes it's a matter of not even you doing what the do unto others. I think it's one of those things where it's like, look, just don't do the shit. Like, I don't like it. And I mean, if she can't get down with the fact that you don't want her playing with your belly button, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know. That's weird.
Okay, I'm in a rabbit hole. It said, do not try to penetrate your partner's navel. You don't want to risk hurting your partner by poking them in the belly button. And it was saying, because a sex worker from Turkey decried the lack of sexual education in the country around navels, revealed that men were forcibly having sex with their wives' belly buttons. If there was no blood, they assumed she was not a virgin.
No. You can't be that. You can't be that fucking.
You can't be that fucking. How small is your penis if you're fucking a belly button?
But just the whole fact that you that high, like, come on, dog, you way too high. Like you way too high. Like you all the way up there. Like, come on, man. Like some of this shit you can't make up. Like this shit
you
is crazy.
Can't.
Yo, this
I
world
could
is.
Not imagine. A nigga fucking my belly button. It's only like this deep.
And he like, yeah. Coming? You feel that? Like,
what? Yeah, nigga, you hurting my rib.
Like, are you playing? Like, he think he finger popping you and he got his fucking finger in your
belly. But you have a good point. Like, you know my pussy is not on my belly.
Right, yeah. Like, way too high.
You know, some men probably don't. Like, the babies are in your belly, so maybe they think that.
I don't even think you need sex education to figure that out. Come on.
You think so?
No.
I know somebody, and this wasn't on no. I know somebody who dated, and this is not anybody I know personally. This was like in my 20s, but this girl was dating this guy, and she's like, they were having sex, quote unquote. And she says, she's like, you know, put it in. And he's like, it is. And she's like thinking, oh my God, his dick is so small. But she realized the second time they went to go have sex, that he was never putting the dick in her pussy. He was just like putting it in between the meat of her thighs. And he was fucking her thighs. This is the stuff that men don't believe. This is why men can't.
That's what I feel like you have. That's what I feel like you have to grab the dick.
You do. You have to take
and
control.
Put it in.
So, yeah. So she was like, at first, she was like, she was so confused the first time because he came and everything. It was a big whole thing. And she's like, I didn't feel anything. Like, oh, my God, he has a small penis. And he got up and went away. She said, the next time, that's when she's like, no, what's happening down here? And then when she realized, like, you're not in my vagina. And he was kind of like, what? Like, he did not know. They were like 25. And so she was like, oh shit, you're technically a virgin. She like took his virginity because she showed him how to put the dick in inside of her. He had never had sex in a vagina. He just thought the thighs. So I was like, you know what? I blame women, because how many women was he out here thigh fucking? And y'all just let that man pass along.
So, and that's why, like, I think sometimes when you realize how bad sex is out here, you really start to understand why so many people are like attracted to such toxic sexual relationships.
Oh,
because the shit be so bad.
When people, you get some good shit.
Yeah. Like, they get some good shit, so they hold on to it, even though it's not the right person. And then they end up settling for somebody who might be just the right person for them to settle down with. And that's where we get all of that. But it's like, I blame lack of communication. Like, one thing.
1,000%.
Yeah, so many people are so uncomfortable talking about sex, talking about what they like, what they don't like. I remember, like, early on, like, in my early sexual experiences, thinking everything I did was so right. Oh, and, man. You know, it takes getting your ego bruised a couple times, so you have to just be like, okay, but that made things better. I'll never forget. I was probably like 19, and I was just like, yeah, is this too much for you? Is this too much for you? So when we finished, she was like, no, my last boyfriend dick was like 12 inches, and he sent me to the hospital like 3 times. And I was just like,
damn.
Okay. And after that, I was like, shit. I didn't even want to fuck her anymore. But she was like, this is just right.
Oh, you had that meme happen to you.
Yeah, I hate that. Yo, that's the worst feeling.
It's hurt. Yours is just right.
Yeah, like, yo, that shit is the worst. Y'all do that shit all the time where a chick would be like, no, I don't want it to be super big. This is just right.
But here's the thing, though, because I think what is a big dick is very skewed, right? I've never sat with a dick with a measuring stick. Like, yep, 9 inches is perfect for me. I have no idea in terms of the inches, but I know what it feel like inside. But I don't know what that translates to. But I will say, for me myself personally, where have the big dicks gone, though? Because it's been a little while. Now, everybody now listening, I am a size queen. I don't shame small penises, but I do think big dicks should be marveled. They should be praised, especially if they can fuck with a big dick. Shit. You deserve it all. I love a big dick. They're just pretty to look at. Where have they gone, though? The big dicks are gone.
I couldn't tell you.
Is it global warming?
I don't fucking know. I don't want to know. At the end of the day, I think this is where I make the comparison, right?
Okay.
I think men naturally, based off of what somebody has told them, feel like they have a big dick, right? And it's all relative. It's only relative to the other dicks you've had, mm-hmm. relative to maybe the last dick you've had or the dick before that. And now all of a sudden, my dick is king dick to you, right? Same thing with pussies. Women brag about their pussy being really wet.
Oh, now we do that. Okay, that is our bragging metric.
So it's like,
I got a water park in this motherfucker. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So everybody think they got a little baby water park, indoor pool. And a lot of times it's like when the road like is just from just start raining, like it's damp, right? Like baby girl.
Not damp. Like,
this shit ain't running pussy. This shit ain't running up your back. This shit ain't, you know, all over the bed like how you talked about it in the text messages, like, you know what I mean? And then sometimes women will try to say stuff like, oh, the nigga didn't get me there. But guess what? Like, after a certain amount of times and you was coming and doing out, like, it never reached that point. So I think everybody has a level of exaggeration for where they want to be sexually. But it really doesn't matter as long as you find that person.
You found your person. That's fair. I'll let you rock with that.
Because you're still going to, like, at the end of the day, like, I could have the best sex in the world with you, and you don't have to have the wettest ass, and I don't have to have the biggest dick. So it's like, as long as we can find out what works, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm with you there. It really is something about a big dick. Like, you be getting these little dick pics and they be like, it don't even make you drool because it's like, where's the meat?
Yo, and that's where I be so confused because I don't even care no more. But when I was younger, I really cared about what somebody thought about my dick. Like, I really felt like if I fucked you, I needed to know, like, what your best friend thought. You know how we would all be in some friend circle?
Not sharing it.
Look, and we'd be, like, all in a friend circle, and I'd be waiting for my feedback. Like, I just got out of an interview. Like, calling a recruiter, like, hey, everything went well. Did you get any feedback? And they'd be like, yeah, you did a great job, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, you always look for your homeboy to be like, yeah, yo, her girl said you laid that shit down. You never wanted it to come back that you did a bad job. Like, I don't know of too many bad hoe reports. Like, we did the hoe facts thing last time.
Yeah.
I know a lot of dudes who got, like, bad reports. And I always felt bad, like, when you were around them. Because as soon as they start talking, all you can
know
think
is of, lies. You know it's lies.
You be like, what? You did what? How'd you have a? Like, oh, damn, dog.
You know it's all fucking lies. I'm going to ask you this because you said, when you talk about wet pussy, so is there a difference from your perspective if between juicy pussy and wet pussy?
So, yeah, it's like a density. Like, just okay. Like y'all talk about girth, right? So, like, you might be like, okay, a big dick might be all length. Somebody else might be a big dick just because it's thick and it fills them up, whatever, mm-hmm. right? So it's the same thing with pussy. Like, it can be real wet and splashy and just squirting everywhere. And it's like, it's not like, it's more like water or whatever. And then it's like the thick wet, where it's like, you feel like you dipping your hand in like a smoothie, like, oh shit, like this shit.
Okay.
Like, you gotta wring your shit out when you take your hand out. So it's different levels to it, where it's almost like squirters, creamers, that whole like debate, like which one's better.
What do you like, a squirter or a creamer?
Yo, I feel like at the end of the day, I don't even know, because it's like, I feel like everybody has their place. And
look at you, everybody's their place in the ecosystem.
Yeah, because it's like sometimes like you might just be like in the mood when you have a squirter on deck. Like, you might just be in a mood for that nasty shit where that shit just be squirting everywhere. But the hard part about that is you gotta clean that shit up. And then at the end of the day, like, you don't want to fall asleep, all that squirt everywhere, and wake up in the morning like, what the fuck, who peed in my fucking bed? Like, bitch, did you pee on yourself? Like, yeah. Oh, that's the towels and shit. But the thing is, like, I couldn't imagine marrying somebody every time you have sex with them, they're squirting 5, 6, 7, 10
times. That's annoying, actually. Like, bitch, calm down.
Yeah, that shit is like, it's a turn on when you're doing it, but like you said, it's a mess.
The aftercare, like, yeah.
Trying to fuck in the car, trying to fuck in the kitchen. Every time you look up, it's shit just everywhere. Like,
did you see the ceiling challenge that's going around? And some couple did it. They're fucking and the floor was Waterwork City. I guess she like squirted everywhere on the floor. I was like, I'm watching it. I was like, oh, look at the floor. It was a mess. Okay. No. But it's funny that you say that, juicy pussy, wet pussy, because it was said to me. I've said this before. I'm very honest in my sexting. Like, I don't, or any sex talk. I'm not like, oh, you give me that big dick if your dick's not big to me. If it's pretty, I'll say, give me that pretty dick. Give me that thick dick. I might say things like that. So I always describe myself. I always say juicy pussy. I never say... I'm not a self
super wet water park
wet pussy, but I always say juicy.
Yeah.
And it was brought to my attention. And so the person was like, do you not think yours is wet? And I said, no, I do, but I don't think that's the word for me, because I think if you say wet, then you're expecting waterworks. And for me, you went to do a lot to get the waterworks squirting situation.
Yeah, I'm so not, it's the same thing with saying
I'm not one of them girls where you touch my clit and it's like, I don't do that.
But that's the same thing with saying, like, you got a big dick. Like, you shouldn't be out here selling a big dick, because now you don't know what a big dick is. It's all subjective. So you don't know what real wet pussy is, because you're not on the other end receiving it. So at the end of the day, I would rather under promise, over deliver. I would rather drop that motherfucker out and you'd be like, oh, wow, you was holding back on me. Why you didn't tell me? Well, I didn't know it was going to be this. And then you might feel it differently versus how I move it around and give it to you. You know what I mean? I might be that 240 pounds banging that thing in you, and you'd be like, man, you reached a part I didn't even know you could get to. You were parts of pussy town I didn't even know was there. But that's what for you to feel, and not for me to like sell myself or be like, oh yeah, I got a big dick, and then you like disappointed. I'd rather like the shock and awe that we kissing and we touching, and next thing you know, when I take your hand and you be like, oh, you know what I mean? Rather yeah. than you being like, oh, like
I just feel like, you know, you got to temper those expectations in which you're putting out there about yourself. I have a question though, because in heterosexual relationships, like, I know what a big dick is and you know what good pussy, wet pussy is. And even for gay men, they know dicks and they know booty holes and mouths. But how do lesbians know what good pussy is? Like, what's a good pussy to a lesbian? They don't feel inside of it. I'm going to ask somebody, because I'm just so, like, what is, I wonder how lesbians gauge what good pussy is, or by women. I don't know.
So I think for us, like sometimes when we really love eating a pussy, like, oh my God, like I love eating her pussy. Like we have women who like, we really genuinely love eating y'all pussy. Like it's the way that you respond. It's the way that your pussy look. And sometimes it's the clit. Like sometimes it's like y'all have big clits, little clits, hidden by the hoodie, non-existent. Like, oh, the hoodie. Yeah, you'd be like, God, take the fucking hoodie off. Like, it's fucking pussy. Like, somebody might not even know what you're talking about. Yeah, I had to pull the hoodie back to get to that motherfucker. But certain women could probably fall in love with the look of a pussy or the way that they get real wet or squirt in their face. I don't know. It could be that whole idea of like, oh, yeah. But that's very weird. Like, I don't understand that whole idea of, I never will understand.
I mean, they're good at pussy because gay women have the most orgasms out of all women. So they're good at the pussies, but.
See, I already feel like I got a whole different mindset on that anyway. The listeners probably wouldn't like it, so I'm not even going to say it. But I just feel like a lot of women who are bisexual, and this is along the same lines, a lot of women who are bisexual, a lot of women I know that have done both guys and girls, right? Mm-hmm. Open to doing shit with women, and they with a man, and oh, I'll fuck a girl. I've messed with girls before. They're overly sexualized. It's usually women who have had so many male partners and so much heartbreak and stuff that they fucking play wherever. You know what I mean? And it's not that they, I'm not saying all women like that, right? But it's a segment of women who have been so hurt and ran through that they go both ways just because at this point they're looking for something completely different. It's love, it's affection, it's someone. And it's like, you see this girl, now she with a dom and she happy because no nigga fucking would be with her. Like everybody was just fucking her. Like, and I'm sorry if that's your story and now you don't want to listen to me anymore and Brian's a dickhead.
This sounds personal, Brian.
If that's your story, no, because I know so many women that we went to school with and was like, yo, she ought to change. She this, she that. And she was like, oh, she a hoe or she a freak. Everybody fucked her. And now you look up and be like, oh, she with a woman. You get what I'm saying? It's not that like you felt like she liked women because she fucked so many men. Where did this come from? Like now you're looking for somebody who's going to almost like love you and treat you a certain way. It was an underlying issue there. You were looking for love in all the dicks that you had. And because you didn't get it, now you're getting it from a woman. It's like you looking for something you couldn't get from a man.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
You so freaky, like even niggas, like you so freaky that you borderline gay because you got so many freak sex tendencies that you're willing to do anything, letting a chick play in your butt. And then we can slide right on into this.
Lord, we were doing so good. So
because there's a lot of men who are so close to that line of crossing over because they're allowing women to do certain things to him and almost make you feel like he's suspect.
So I'm going to go on the record and say I do not want to peg a man. I don't have those desires, right? I know some women do. I think it's a curiosity. I think for somebody I know who has done it for her, and it's not that something she wanted to keep doing. I think she was just shocked. She just wanted to find a man who would let her do that to them. But I don't think, I don't say it's gay because you're it's still a woman who's doing pleasing you.
I don't think it's gay. I don't think it's gay. And what I'm saying to you is, it's very close. And as a woman who does it, they can respond and tell me if you're if you're pegging a man and you're doing things where you're, you know, putting your tongue in his butt. Now you're starting to put fingers and now you're going to tools. And toys, whatever you call it, butt plugs or toys. I don't even know if it's for a man, you call it a toy. Like, hey, babe, go get the tools. Like, you don't want
You don't have any sex toys, Brian?
No. At the end of the day, I'm
nasty. You don't have that stroker thing?
Nah. So at the end of the day,
if like, I bought it for you, would you use it and do a review?
It's like a masturbator?
Yeah. You haven't seen it?
No.
I'm going to send you the video.
Yeah, you had to educate me on that. But no, I'm saying that.
He got it
like you said, like, I don't have a desire. I don't have a desire for any woman to do anything like super nasty to me. Let me be the nasty one to you. Right? Yeah, you might think, oh, yeah. A woman could be like, I'm super nasty. Like, oh, yeah, I'm suck your dick, spit on it. I'm going to swallow it, spit it back out. Oh, lick your balls. Oh, wow, she nasty. I don't need you to lick my ass and put something in my butt. But I will tell you, and the point that I'm getting to right now is, for the women out there who are pegging men and putting things like fingers and butt plugs and stuff in their male partner's butt, I guarantee you, each of them have in the back of their mind a feeling that he has some homosexual tendencies. I guarantee you.
Well, I will ask those listeners, I will do a Talk to Boonie Tuesday question about pegging. And we'll go there. How about that? Because I don't have no experience there.
I just don't know how you can almost feel like comfortable doing that to a man and not having in the back of your mind that this is something that he's loving and liking so much that it's so comfortable that you're either asking yourself, has he done this before? Or is he on the borderline of just really being turned out?
Maybe he just likes to have I hate that word. Say it.
Prostate.
Yes, prostate.
There's always one. Trips us
up. I hate that word. Prostate orgasms.
But sometimes it don't reach your prostate, right? Just the fact that something is touching your butt.
It might be just the sensation. It's nerve endings in your booty hole.
I totally get it. I totally get it. I'm not saying that that makes you gay. Like, I'm not saying that.
I get what you're saying, but I'm like, he may just enjoy playing that booty hole.
And I'm saying that the woman, even though she thinks that he's not gay.
You're questioning how can a woman still be attracted to someone after they do that to them?
No. That can still be attractive. I'm just saying that my question is, how many of you women who have done it, it has not crossed your mind
that
this man might could possibly slide
over. Suspect is what you're saying.
Suspect. Because I've talked to women who have done it and they just was like, oh yeah, you know, the dude said this and said that. And then he would say cold words like, oh, you gonna have your way with me? Or you gonna do this to me tonight? You know, stuff like that. And it becomes a thing where they like looking forward to getting pegged. And I'm just like, and what did you think? And they always be like, in the back of my mind, yeah, I did kind of think. And then they're not with him no more, so they're like, faggy ass.
Oh, God. Now
you can't argue with a woman no more after that. Because now you're like, hey, and thing, I want my fucking...
that's not fair, though, right? If you've agreed to strap up, lube up, and penetrate your man, it's not fair to then go turn around and call him the F word.
No, I get it. I totally get it. But I feel like...
But I get your point.
Yeah, that's a vulnerable space for you as a man when you're trying to talk shit to a woman and you know she had you bent over. You're in a tough spot.
Good Lord.
She'd be like, watch what you say. Like, yo, why is she always able to shut you up, dog? But moving on. So taking that from here to here real quick. I don't know how much time we got left, but listen. This shit is crazy with this nigga Puffy. I mean, we always knew that he was suspect. I don't know we knew to what point he was abusive and getting men to run a train on Cassie and watching. There are some sick motherfuckers out here.
So when it first dropped, I was not able to read all 35 pages of the allegations because when I started going, I was like, oh, this is way more graphic than I was prepared to, even though it had the trigger warning on there.
I didn't read any of it.
I figured. When you read it, I mean, in addition to drugging her and forcing her to have sex with paid escorts, he was like really beating her ass. Like,
yeah. They saw the video today. She was in a blanket today. And he was like, yeah, get the fuck up. Come on, let's go run for a beach. Mm. And 50 is the leader of this.
Oh, 50 hates his guts. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So 50 posts something every day. He at this nigga neck.
That's what KG told me. Kenny was like, he's posting every day about Diddy.
The last person I want to beef with is 50. He is the pettiest person out there.
Like, he's a petty bitch.
When it got to the point where, like, when him and Ja Rule was done and Ja Rule was, like, over and he wouldn't let it go, I was coming like, come on, yo. It's like you watching somebody beat somebody up and they just stomped them and everybody then pulled them off of them.
Like, come on. And then the person is, like,
getting themselves together and you just come back over like, I was still on. Like, come on, yo. That was enough.
No, that's how 50 is. He definitely is a habitual line stepper. Like,
yo, I'm terrible. I feel like I'm terrible. Yo, he got me beat by, like, I have a heart. I do feel like at a certain point, like, I'm gonna walk away when it's over. Like, all right, we done, we good. Yo, we good. Don't ever step out of line again. Now they call me another name, I'm running back over. But 50, like, you could be waving the white flag if 50 is gonna be over top of you, like pounding you.
No, like, he will.
He is relentless.
I do feel like in all of the allegations against Diddy, Puffy, Sean Combs, whoever, hindsight be 2020 like a motherfucker, right? And so now people are like, it was a song with Keisha Cole last night that was a bop. I don't think I ever listened to the album version, but it's like an interlude before it. And he's having a phone call. And
so I remember.
Like, it's all 50, in front of
50
us.
He posted it.
Yeah, yep. I was like, oh my God, like all of this was in plain sight. And we don't know these people, right? At the end of the day, we don't know them.
Yeah.
So
I always go back to the whole thing where the one lady is dead, so she can't talk.
Oh, not you being Jaguar Wright.
Kim.
I know you're talking about, but you know Jaguar Wright. We doing these videos.
I don't know who Jaguar Wright is.
Yes, you do.
Yo, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. But no, I'm saying that all we really have to go off of right now, and the one person who could really crack this thing wide open and verify, I believe Cassie all the way. I do believe her. But I feel like the one person who could speak out, who feel like, oh, she don't have nothing to gain, no money, no nothing, J-Lo. So I feel like Jennifer Lopez would definitely be able to speak because we all wanted them to get back. And then at the end of the day, we seen what he did, how he handled Shine. It was so many different situations where you just was like, yo, he's just a terrible person.
He's just a terrible fucking human being.
Yeah.
And it's sad because you say J-Lo and I never thought about that. But I did laugh because somebody made a joke like after she left Diddy and those gun charges, she ain't been seen with a nigga since. Yeah. But yeah. And the sad thing to say, for some people, J-Lo has a credibility that they won't Lynn Cassie. Right. So if there was something that happened with her and Diddy, people would believe her over believing Cassie because that was the whole argument, too. Cassie was a gold digger. And I'm like, no, back this train up. She went to him and he offered her money and she could have got an 8-figure check. And none of this could have went public and she could have got a check in. So I'm like, 8 figures is between $10 million and $99 million. Yeah. She could have been paid and set, but she filed them charges and that ass settled within 24 hours. So
immediately
off that lets me know he did, even if he didn't do 100% of what she claimed, he at least did 80%. And that wasn't more than enough. So,
yeah. And that's crazy. Cause it's like, it really makes me sad because having daughters and seeing women be in positions of men with power or money, like at a certain point you are liable because you stayed. Now, you know, was the lifestyle that good that you are partaking in all of this stuff? Like, I think I was watching Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix, and it just like,
I haven't watched it, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So it's this whole thing where like the more you see these different shows and movies, and it's almost like an exaggeration sometimes, but it's real. Like people with money are so bored with what they have that they're so extreme with their sex lives and the things that
anything, yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like when you've had as many women as he had, and it becomes like a whole thing about control and controlling this young girl, like is crazy, but it's believable because I know people without money that do it. So if niggas get away with it with nothing and they not paying no rent or not doing nothing and still controlling chicks with just dick, like, you know that somebody with millions and millions and access and talking about she wanted
the grip to is a lot different with it's, that yeah, kind of power and money.
Yeah, because she wanted to be an artist as well. And she every time she talked to a different manager, he beat her ass. Like the whole thing came out where he beat her ass in a hotel, took her in another room and beat her ass because she was talking to another manager. And you know,
abuse is wild, right? Because it never typically ever starts with just the punch in the face, right? Like, it don't start there. You're abused way before you ever get to that physical part. The physical part is just the most extreme, egregious. But sometimes it's hard. This just happened with our sorority. We lost two sorors who were in abusive situations and tried to leave and were killed. And so it is the situation usually, and I've spoken, I don't know, in depth, but I've mentioned, like, my mom, I grew up in a house of domestic violence. And sometimes if you don't have a plan to safely leave, that's when you die or get injured the most. So yeah, it's hard to get out. And to your point, with somebody who's a billionaire, who can control the media, who's paid off the police, paid off hotels, the footage, you probably feel real trapped. So also, to me, it made more sense because everybody was like, why would she get with the trainer? I'm like, the trainer probably saw things and saved that ass one day. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
Right. And she probably felt safe that, okay, like he'll fuck his ass up or he thorough enough. Like women, I always feel like this whole thing, right? When y'all date the next guy after a certain guy, y'all want to at least feel like he gonna stand up to this dude. You know what I mean? Especially chicks with the baby daddy, right? Like, you always got to be thinking, like, can he fight? Can he at least make my baby daddy feel like he can't come over here and act crazy? Like, that's the whole thing. It's like,
it's so funny about, like, being the need of being physically protected, right? Like, I never thought I was one of those girls that was like turned on by that. I've never been in situations where I've needed a man to physically protect me. Thank God. I hope it stays that way, right? But I was in a situation where I ended up, the guy I was fucking, we were at the same party as one of my exes. And my ex was drunk and one of his friends was there and he's like playing with my hair. Like, and I had a blowout. Y'all know I'm natural. So I had a blowout in a hot ass club. It's swelling. I'm like, stop. Like, it's about to blow up in here. And the guy that I was fucking, the guy, and he sees this. He didn't know what was happening and I was cool with him. He just saw these men like, and I'm like, stop. And he came and like bought a collar, yank up. And I was like, oh my pussy ain't never get wetter so fast.
yo, I think it's a,
I don't know. I it's like a,
it's part of the male instinct to feel like you can physically protect a woman.
Yeah, that should like, be sexy as shit. I can't.
Like, I feel like a lot of women at the end of the day have said things like, I feel safe physically, or like,
from, I mean, safety is a big thing.
So like, when we talk about like a man's job is to provide, protect, let me just clear this up. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The protection part is not just physically, right? It's also emotionally and being able to like protect her heart, protect her feelings, make her feel vulnerable to be able to open up. So that's not just focus on the fact. That's why I like the No.
No, 1,000% agree. Getting
June bug who just came home. We're talking about somebody who also allows you to open up. But I still feel like a lot of women think because, okay, he went to college, and he not no thug nigga, like, how I'm supposed to feel safe? Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm not trying to get into a situation where I got to pull my gun or shoot somebody, but I'm also a little bit off to the point where, like, there's certain things that I'm going to intervene with. Like, it's times when I had been out and, you know, I had to learn that being married and in relationships, it wasn't my job to always swat a nigga away who was trying to talk to my woman. I married her because I felt like she was beautiful. Other people feel like that. Well, I knew she had a fat ass and I knew she had that dress on. So I have to now pull myself back as an older, more mature man and realize, like, I could die just because a nigga said you had a fat ass or touched you. So now my job is like, look, Boonie, you got fucking 45 seconds to 1 minute, 45 seconds to get this nigga out your face before the fuck I come over. Because if I look too hard like that, and the nigga smiling and y'all smiling, and I'm across the room, by the time I get back from the bathroom, he better be gone, or you, I better be turning around and be like, oh, this is my man. Because at that point, now I come in, I'm coming in hot. But I had to learn to let you, I had to learn to let you diffuse the situation, because I used to be, yo, she good. The fuck, nigga? Yeah. Like, you don't see me standing right here?
And I think if you are a partner and you're respectful of your partner, right? You, it's a way you can say that without.
Yeah. And I think sometimes y'all be too nonchalant. Like, I didn't know he was trying to. Well, so you motherfucking know I ain't right. You know I ain't. You know I'm crazy.
But I think some of it may be twofold, right? You do play that card. Well, I didn't know he was crazy, but then sometimes niggas is crazy, and I don't want no smoke, right? These men, like, men, y'all not right. Like, y'all not right.
Yeah, but y'all gotta still know when to be like, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm with somebody, or you know, just know when. It's a balance.
Baby, let me get us some free drinks.
I told somebody, like, I had seen this somewhere, and it was like after a situation I had where I was like flipping out, and we was like in Atlanta, and I had the dude like walked up on my ex-wife, and she was pregnant, and we weren't even married yet, and he was just like, yo, something. I had just walked away to get the car, I turned back around, like, yo, she good. And then he was like, you good? No, you good. She good. And so, funny story, we get back in the car. My buddy, his wife, was like, yo, you need to chill. You acting all insecure. You like an insecure ass bitch. Like, a nigga gonna take your girl. She pregnant. Where the fuck she gonna go? And I had thought about it and was like, oh, damn, that makes sense. But I still had to hold my position. So we literally get out in the middle of the light and we fighting in the street, me and his wife, because she like, you a bitch. You scared somebody gonna take your girl. I'm like, fuck you. Should I get out the car? We literally out the car, grabbing her. She trying to hit me. But it made me think, like, I have nothing to worry about. She coming home with me. I just think it's just a male dominance that makes us feel like we got to claim and mark our territory and be like, hur, 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 hur. Like a dog. This is your backyard. Nigga just walking down the street. Chill. But the dog is naturally going to be like, don't come close to this yard. You know what I mean?
I'm nodding because I understand. I get it.
But now that I'm older, I don't feel like that. I don't want to have to fight your baby daddy. I don't want to have to get to the point where I go to jail for the rest of my life. It's got to be a great reason for me to have to throw hands with something over something that's mine.
Because these days, the risk, it may not just be hand. Like,
yeah,
afraid. Nobody wants to fight. They just want to pull out a gun. Shoot.
No, that's the thing. Like, yo, when
it's not worth it.
Carrying a gun and having had, you know, like a gun license, like, it's a different story. And I tell my friends, like, yo, you be slipping like you got a gun, you don't carry, or you carry sometimes. When you're going over these chick houses, you got to put your shit right on the nightstand.
And you do the waterworks.
Because when all of a sudden you hear that, hey, I know somebody in here, bitch, open the door. You got to now ask yourself, like, well, what's it going to be? Am I going to stay here all night? Or am I going to walk out this door? But you don't know, because these chicks be lying, talking about, oh, no, I don't mess with him no more. And he just was over there 2-3 weeks. You don't know, because your over is different from her over. Everybody got these little toxic situations. Like, I've been.
Yeah, dating is a mess. This is too much.
Yeah.
I was in a situation. This is in my 20s. Woo, thank God I made it out of them alive. Because it was one time. Because everybody different is over.
Yeah.
The bitch slept outside in the parking lot. She watched me go in. She slept outside the whole night, so I did not leave. I guess she was tired of waiting in the car, and she was bump, bump, bump on the door. So I'm like, I'm in the bed. He's like, oh, stay here. And then I could hear yelling. I was like, I'm not even going out there. Like, she already know I'm in here. Like, that's his problem to handle.
Yeah, that's a whole other situation.
But then
situation.
I did. I was like, nigga, you gonna walk me to the car, because... Was she in the car waiting to slice my face or waiting for me to come out? Nigga, nah, walk me to my car. She can shoot your ass. But
yeah, I thank God I never had I've never had any of them situations where
I'm delivered.
Yeah. I mean, I've had stories where it's like, oh, he said he rolled past my house, but nobody's never knocked on the door and been like, yeah, yo, I know somebody in there. Cause I had friends where they'd be like, yo, a dude was at the door, or I felt like somebody wasn't, like, I probably had that happen, but I'm like, yeah, I always let them know, like, hey, if you still care about him, I'm letting you know when I open this door. Like, I always have in my mind, it's never happened. If I have in my mind, like, I'm gonna have my shit out, and when I open that door, I'm gonna be like, listen, motherfucker, it's me or you. And if I see that motherfucker, I'm shooting first, asking questions later. And then I'm gonna be like, if she run and jump on him, bitch, I'm shooting you too. And I gotta take the phone.
My bucket.
Look, sometimes that's why you don't want to be like, that's why you don't want to text like, I'm here. Because now they're going to be like, well, you text at 1:45. We know it was you, Brian. Like, no, I wasn't there. I was at the cigar shop.
We saw your cell phone ping off.
Your cell phone was pinging from this tower. Yo, I got so many things in my mind of how I could kill somebody. And I always think about, where am I going? Don't look like that.
That went real dark real quick.
Because I used to always think of, like, I don't even know why, but when I used to run a lot and I would be running like 5 miles, you running for a long time, your mind go different places. And I used to always be like, damn, like, where would you turn your cell phone off or leave it at? Or where would you leave your cell phone to have it pinging? And then who can you trust? Or what business can you go to that is busy enough that you could slip out the back door? Because I used to watch a lot of Matlock and shit.
Not motherfucking Matlock. Maybe he had technology during that show.
Yo, because Matlock will always catch somebody and be like, so between 8:45 and 9:30, did anybody see you in the bar? Yes, I was at the bar. No, you weren't. Because you dropped your shoe on the way out from the murder and you bought one new shoe from Shoe City the next day. That's how it would be. And a little black dude would get beat up trying to find out what was going on.
This day and age, you ain't committing too many crimes and not getting caught. Like, you might get away with it for a little bit, but
it's going to catch up to you. But in that moment, if you got to, like, if it's between you and somebody else and you know that person got a weapon or they threatening, like, sometimes it's you or me. And in my mind, I'm like, look, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. My grandfather, I was just talking about this, and I owe this story. So maybe I'll tell it briefly, and then we got to wrap up because I'm late for my next thing. But Thanksgiving 2007, my grandfather was shot on Thanksgiving 2007. So at the time, my grandfather was like 74 or 75 years old. And he was washing the car. This is the quick version. He's washing the car. This boy came and asked him for a dollar. He's like, I don't got no money out here. The boy walks away. The boy comes back and was like, give me your wallet. And he said, I just told you I don't have no money out here. He pulls out a gun. My grandfather's like, you know, look, young man, I don't have no money. I'm just washing my car. It's Thanksgiving. Next thing you know, another little boy comes out. Two of them. They were 16 and 18. My grandfather, 74, 75. And my grandfather was like, I'm not giving you no money because I don't have no money out here. And he goes, the little boy went and cocked the gun. And Pop said when he did that, it was him or me. And they started fighting over the gun. When Pop started fighting over the gun, the one little boy ran. The gun discharges while they're struggling over the gun. We're on the phone with my grandmother because she's telling us what time to be there for Thanksgiving. She's like, oh, I heard a noise. Let me check on Frank. That was him getting shot. Yeah, that was him getting shot. It was what she heard. My uncle at the time was still in the
Now, this still Duclin Street?
Westwood, between North and between Pulaski and Smallwood. And my uncle's still in the police force. He hears on the radar, he's like, the shit, that girl. We like, what? We zoom down there. It's police everywhere because now my uncle done said police family. It's police cars everywhere. Granny is like, Pop went to the hospital, but Pop wrestled the gun away from the young boy and in the wrestling got shot. Went to the hospital, and Pop had the gun though. That's how the police caught him because they had their fingerprints on the gun.
Wow.
So they don't make men like that no more. RIP Frank.
And the whole thing too is like, I always been in the mindset like, yo, you could take what you want. There's so many carjacks and jackins and things.
Yeah,
going
at this point, it's not worth like, it. Fuck all this shit.
and that's what I tell people too. Like, even carrying a gun, if somebody got the drop on you, that gun don't mean nothing. Like, you still don't want to let somebody know you had a gun. And it's a guy who I'm friends with who was riding bikes with me. I don't even want to say friends. He was in my bike group, and some people probably know him when I tell this quick story. He was the one who introduced me to the belly band. So, like, if you got on a sweatsuit or you got on jeans or something,
you put your gun?
You put your gun around here, up around your ribs almost. So the belly band has a holster where it comes around and it clasps. And a lot of big guys, he was a small guy, but a lot of big guys will wear that because when they lean over and that belly
fat, yeah,
the gun be jamming you all in your side. So he was like, he had his belly band on, and this was like maybe 20 years ago or something. And he pulled in a gas station. As soon as he got out to get gas, a dude jumped in. And when a dude jumped in, another guy put a gun on him and was like, get in the back of the car. He happened to be a police officer. So he had his gun on him under his belly band. And the smart thing is, if somebody already got the drop on, you can't be like, this is not the movies. Like, it's
you
not
missed
the
your shot, buddy.
So he said they had blindfolded him and they were taking him somewhere and they were trying to find an alley or somewhere to take him to. And they were like pulling somewhere, and they were arguing about like, no, pull here, pull there. We can leave him here, da da da. So he knew like, this is it. Like, I got a matter of seconds. So he was like, as soon as they got him out of the car, the whole time they never checked him. You know what I mean? And it was up here. So he was like, he pulled the blindfold off. Bop, 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 bop. Hit him. One was like paralyzed and one died.
Damn.
And was able to like run away.
That's crazy.
And he just was like, you know, and like he always posts like every year. And he was just like, yeah, man, like the belly band, like you got hoodies or, you know, certain clothes on, like in the summertime, like, you know, people might be able to see your gun when it lifts up on your side. But even just like the belly band, like it's kind of hitting on your rib area if you got
that
a little back.
Scare me. That's my final thought. Guns scare me. What's your final thought?
You want to go to the gun range with me?
Sure.
I don't think it's nothing to be scared of. They just took away the HQL law where you can buy a gun now without having the HQL. I think you should have one. If somebody really wants to get in your house, right?
They could. I mean,
So if they get in your house, now you have to ask yourself, what is going to happen when they get to my room or
I'm
where
done. I'm trapped.
Yeah. So it's like at this point, you do want to feel like you can defend yourself, because I know that I got my handgun and then I have my 12 gauge. When they hear that motherfucker go, that bitch going through the next three houses.
Goodbye.
No, seriously.
I know. Like, guns are so scary.
Like the shotgun, even if you just send out a warning shot, if a motherfucker hear that and he outside in the car, he leaving. Yeah. He ain't even waiting for you to come down. He like, oh shit, we picked the wrong house. And like it's crazy because when I was in Philly, both my guns got stolen. Like somebody.
Well, that valet, sounds like Philadelphia.
I felt like the valet set me up, and somebody came in and broke my window, but she parked the car where it was hidden. And the only reason why I didn't have my gun on me that night was because I didn't pick up my license for Philly. And I was like, yeah, I'm going out to dinner. Like, I don't need it. And I don't carry it because I feel like I need it. I just feel like it becomes a part of like what you do. Like when you take the classes, they tell you like moment you feel like you don't have it is when you need it. You're never anywhere safe. Like you don't want to be. There's so many stories about people in the middle of a store and somebody walk in and start shooting. You just don't know when you're going to have to be strapped.
Aren't you being the hero?
I ain't trying to be the fucking hero. it just come down to, I ain't trying to say nobody fucking life.
But yours?
My life. Man, I ain't trying to be the nigga like, everybody get down. I got it. No, not me. Nope.
All right, Brian. Thanks for today.
You're welcome.
This was random, but it was funny.
Right. Yeah.
We started with belly buttons and ended on guns.
That's how it always is. So, I mean, you know, that's what it is. All right.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
All right. That is it for this week's episode. I want to thank our homie, our problematic fave, Brian, for stopping by. All right, y'all. Y'all got to remind me to do his Talk to Boonie Tuesday question because I will forget. So make sure y'all DM me if y'all don't see it. All right. Be sure to support this week's sponsor, OMG Yes. It is a one-time membership fee, and you can access it on thebooniebreakdown.com or in the show notes. Click
that link. Just click the link. It helps me. Just click the link. You don't even got to sign up. Just click the link, okay? I appreciate it so much. And if you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to listen and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, or any apps that you listen to your favorites on. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review too. You might just hear your review on the next episode, all right? Follow us on all social media. Share the episode with those you love, those you don't love, those you fucking hate. I don't make these pretty images for nothing. I don't pay for these reels for nothing, okay? Share the reel. Like the real. All right. Have a dope ass week. Stay healthy, safe, and sane. Thank you for listening. And remember, the ratchet in me always honors the ratchet in you. Homaste. Until next time.